Southwest family, so good to be with you today, and I'm very honored because today I get to introduce our preacher and our teacher for today, and I know him pretty well. It is actually my father, so I'd like to welcome John Davis to the stage to share the word with us today.
Thank you. Hey, how are you folks today? Very good to be here in Texas. It's warmer than Wisconsin for sure. For you, it's probably cold. For me, it's probably warm. So I'm thankful that Diane and I can be here. So my wife, Diane, is back sitting by Shy. And this year, Diane and I have been married 50 years. So we've been around the block once or twice. And we're still kicking. So that's nice as well. And healthy, for which we give praise to God. You're in transition, Southwest Family Fellowship. You're in transition. Change is taking place, and we want you to know our prayers, our love, our commitment to stand with you from Wisconsin. And for those of you we know better, we'll encourage, and those of you who we're getting to know, we'll encourage. And we lift up your arms, asking God to make a way on your behalf. Transitions are challenging and needs become evident during times of change. And may God show his grace to you and take care of you and help you out. So I want to begin by giving honor to the Skomas. I love them and have appreciated them through the years. And they are, I think, in California by now. And may they be kept safe and have the grace of God for the transitions that they are going through, and find the Lord is taking care of their needs, even as you all are here, and then Diane and I get to be with you this morning. As the change takes place and God leads your church family forward, may he show himself to be faithful to you and lift up your hearts. Some things are going to be challenging, and that's certainly to be expected. There are times of need, and you can know that those are real. And if you feel pain, please share it, because your heart is important, and listening to you is an important thing for us to do. So if you have something on your heart, please feel free to share what you're feeling, and may you be cared for as everything of God and his plan for the future of your church will unfold to lead you forward. So, times of change. So today I want to talk to you about God's hand on your life. And I've selected this passage of scripture because it talks about God's hand on your life. And I want you to know that I believe with all of my heart that God's hand is on this church. And I think you agree with that. God's hand is on this church. He's demonstrating himself in ways that will be unique, will be important, will meet needs, and his hand is upon Southwest Family Fellowship. So as you surrender to the will of God, the plan of God for your lives, you will discover the hand of God being revealed into your circumstances. But I do want to tell you that the hand of God may not always make sense. I'm pausing on that. The hand of God may not always make sense. The ways of God are not human ways, and our ways, which are human, are not God's ways. And what he does as he unfolds his plan and his will not always be the way we think. I'm sure you've discovered that in the past, and we'll discover it again in the future, that he has unique ways, and he has understanding about life and eternity and unseen factors that we would never be able to know all by ourselves, and so we just make it a point to trust him. So let me give you some examples of circumstances where the hand of God didn't seem to make sense. Joseph in the book of Genesis was called by God, and he ended up spending years in prison, and it didn't make sense. Why would the plan of God include a prison time before he would be a provider for his nation of people and be a resource on their behalf? It just doesn't make sense. Or consider Moses, called by God to lead the people of Israel out of slavery, and he ended up taking care of sheep for 40 years. It doesn't make sense. Why would God have him take care of sheep? Or David, who was called to be the king of Israel and spent 13 years running for his life from King Saul. Why would God do that? It doesn't make sense. And so there are times where what God is up to will not make sense to us. But the Lord's hand is still with you. If you're a child of God, your sins are forgiven, Christ is in your heart, his hand is on you. So we want to understand today how the hand of God works. So I'm going to give to you three thoughts to consider today. The first is that as we humble ourselves to Jesus and the Word of God, we will learn more about the hand of God on our lives. So that's our first point. And as we learn to yield to the guidance by the Holy Spirit, we'll know more about the hand of God on our lives. And then the last thing that I'll talk about is as we love one another, we'll understand the hand of God on our lives. So I'm going to take us now to Acts chapter 11. And we're going to consider verses 19 through 30. We're learning there about the church in Antioch and how God's hand was building that church. In that church in Antioch, there were both Jews and Greeks. It was a multicultural church, which is a very beautiful thing. And it's in this church that we find the first reference to anybody being called Christian. And Christian means that we're like Jesus, that we're like Christ. There's a reflection of Jesus coming through us. And in that church, there was that reflection in their congregation of the reality of Christ working in their lives. And in response to them being called Christian, the Bible says the Lord's hand was with them. So that's the context of the hand of God on your life. I'm not inventing the terminology. It's terminology that comes to us right out of the Bible. So my first point is God's hand leads us to a humble response to Jesus and his word. So I read to you from Acts 11, verses 19 through 21. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them. So that's where this thought comes from. The Lord's hand was with them. And a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So at the outset on this point, I'm just going to underscore, I believe that God's hand is with Southwest Family Fellowship, that God's hand is with each of you, and he is with this church family. So let me take you back into the passage. Christians who had been experiencing persecution in Jerusalem were finding themselves scattered all over the Middle East as they were fleeing for safety. Some of those people traveled to Antioch and began speaking to both Jews and Greeks, and as a result, they were coming to faith in Christ, and the church was being formed, and God's hand was with them. I cannot explain the ups and downs of life. I cannot give to you rational reason as to why you go through struggles and have heartaches and pain. But I can tell you in every need of your life that if you're a Christ follower, the hand of God is with you. And I want you to know, and I said it before and I'm going to say it again, the hand of God is with this church. A true believer in Jesus will experience not only a personal relationship with Christ, but will have many forms of victory. One of those forms of victory is that God gives us the ability to overcome sin. Another manifestation is that we're able to disengage from the world the way we used to before coming to Christ, and we will find the meaning to our existence in God's kingdom. As we are a follower of Jesus, we'll be released from habits of sin and overcome temptations that would be given by Satan. The result of God's hand being upon us is that we begin to live a different kind of life, the kind of life that is victorious, that displays faith, that relies on the promises of God, that demonstrates that Jesus Christ is with us, that the hand of God is on us. God is very personal. He wants to enter into every aspect of life. He wants to show himself in your home, your family, your work, your friendships, your finances, your hopes, and your dreams. When the hand of God is on you, you're different than what you were before. Old things are gone, all things are become new, and God displays himself powerfully on your behalf. So can I ask some questions for us personally? First, are you experiencing the hand of God in your everyday life? That's the first question. As you humble yourself to the Lord and respond to the hand of God on your life, you will grow in the knowledge and the grace of Jesus Christ. That knowledge of his grace will give to you the power to overcome sin, to defeat Satan, will even put your finances in order and make your home a safe place to be. All of this comes because the hand of God is upon us. Now, this first point is for us to recognize that as the hand of God is involved in our life, he becomes very personal, and he becomes the help that we need as we struggle through the challenges that come our way, that he opens up doors, that he gives opportunities, that he is personal in every way. But I also want us to know that the hand of God will give to us a powerful manifestation of the Holy Spirit as well. So I would like to read to you from Acts 11, verses 22 through 24. It says, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And what is the news that reached? The hand of God was on them. So when he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. The church in Jerusalem was mother church to many, many different congregations all across the Middle East. There was a revival that was taking place in their hearts and lives, but that did not mean that they did not have challenges. They had plenty of them. So as Christians were persecuted and moved out and went as far as Antioch, many were coming to faith in God through Jesus Christ. And as a result, the church in Jerusalem decided to send Barnabas from Jerusalem to Antioch to help the Christians there have formation to their faith. In a way, Barnabas became their first pastor. Now, your church family is going to be seeking out a new pastor. And in God's time, and it's first right that you get to adjust and face the changes of what it's like to have the scomas gone, and for you to even grieve having the scomas gone, and certainly to continue and always have a love in your heart for the scomas. At the same time, there will come an opportunity for you to search out a new pastor. And when that time comes to you, God will give you the grace to do it. And He'll unify you as a church family in your choice and your process of how to accomplish that. Mike Harper, who is with the North Texas District of the Assemblies of God, will assist in the process. We know Mike in Wisconsin. He's spoken for us in Wisconsin before, and he's a fine guy and somebody you can rely on. He will resource you and help you answer questions and be ready at the right time for the presentation of a new lead pastor to your church family. The Holy Spirit will be with you. He will give you unity of heart, unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace, and he will help your congregation be victorious in this whole process. So let me take you back now to our passage. Barnabas was a disciple of the Lord, and he wanted to help them to embrace Christ, that they would not have one foot in the world and one foot in Jesus, but they would have their whole life surrendered and dedicated to God, that Jesus, in the power of his resurrection, would be displayed in their daily living, and that Jesus would be with them in their church. Church life is something that's very important. And quite obviously, it's important because you're either online today or you're with us in this service. And I want to thank you that church life is important enough for you to pay attention. In the last 4 years, the church around the world has gone through a stressful time. COVID-19 was a part of that. Political divisions were another part of that. Economic struggles fed into all of the adjustments that were needing to take place. And we've seen some people go, and we've seen some people come. Quite honestly, across America in the last 4 years, 20% of all churches that previously existed have closed their doors forever. And that's grieving. At the same time, I believe churches that have not closed their doors have become stronger. Our responsibility, Diane and mine, is to serve churches in Wisconsin and northern Michigan, and we have seen this transition take place in the churches that we serve, and through the changes that have come our way, God's people have centered their faith on Christ more fully, have learned to respond to the promises of God completely, have become victorious in their daily lifestyle. And I believe that the church today, even though we've seen a closing of many churches, is a stronger church, a healthier church, a victorious church, a church that knows the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ within our ranks. And as a result, I believe that we are positioned for a greater influence than we've ever seen before. I do see that culture has become more anti-God, more anti-Christ. At the same time, I see that Christians have become more for God, for Jesus Christ. And I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking strongly into the hearts of people who do not yet know the Savior in a personal way and drawing them, even in unseen fashion. And some who are the most obnoxious, the most divisive, the most hurtful against the cause of Christ, maybe closer to Jesus than anybody else, because they're fighting that last place of surrender that God is asking of them to make. And when they're changed and transformed, they're going to make tremendous converts to the Savior and great people within the church family. And we will welcome them with all of our arms open, and we will care for them completely and wholeheartedly. So that's enough of my commentary. Let me take you back to the passage of Scripture. Let me talk to you a little bit about Barnabas. Barnabas was a Levite from the island of Cyprus. His given name was Joseph or Joseph. When he came to Christ, he sold his land and gave his money to the church. He just sold out. When Saul was converted to Jesus, Barnabas introduced him to the leaders of the church and vouched for his relationship to Christ. And if you recall, Saul persecuted the church heavily right up until he surrendered to Jesus on the Damascus Road. Barnabas introduced Saul to the leaders of the church. He told them about the change that had taken place, that it was real, that he was not pretending. And when Saul had to leave Jerusalem because the Jews wanted to kill him, Barnabas knew that Saul had gone home to his home city of Tarsus. Meanwhile, Barnabas was sent to Antioch. He became the leader of the church there. He came to a place where he knew he had led that church as far as God wanted him to lead it, and he needed help. And he remembered Saul, and it was time for Saul to leave Tarsus and come to Antioch and serve with Barnabas. And eventually Saul became the stronger of the two leaders and was the one to bring a great leadership in Antioch. Now, why am I telling you all this? God knows where Southwest Family Fellowship is. And God, I believe, has already gone ahead and prepared the person who's going to serve you as your next pastor. That person probably didn't know who it is. And certainly you don't know who they are. But at the right timing, the timing of God, he will show you and them, and there will be a confirmation process that takes place. You'll be involved in all that. And the Lord will bring to you the realization that he was taking care of it all the time, and he is faithful and really good, and he loves his church family, and he has everything in place for your future. So Barnabas ended up having a friend in Saul, and Saul was a friend to Barnabas, and the two of them served together, and then eventually the leadership roles began to change. So I have some thoughts to share with you. Do we know the Holy Spirit? And I think the answer has to be yes. He's the one that drew us to faith in God through Jesus Christ. He revealed Christ within our heart and soul. He helped us to admit that we have a nature of sin. We need forgiveness in Christ. He is the one that gives to us insight and understanding that we can't have on our own. So the Holy Spirit is with us. He is with you. I encourage you to seek the Holy Spirit in this hour, that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that you live under his leading and his guidance, and that he will help you through. So let me now go to my third point. The hand of God leads us to love others. Reading from Acts 11, verses 25-26, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Before I go into this third point any further, some of you I've gotten to talk to already, and others of you I want to talk to, and all of you I want to talk to, but you have tremendous faith in God. You are alive as a church family. You are a special people. And I want to thank you for loving the Lord and letting him love on you and show himself powerful in your lives. This is a phenomenal church, and I just want to encourage you. So now let me take you back to the passage. Barnabas, realizing he needed help, remembered Saul, and he went to Saul's hometown of Tarsus, invited him to come. Saul had been in Tarsus for 8 to 10 years. It was not too long before his going to Tarsus that he was converted. He was converted on the Damascus Road. He went into Syria for a while, then went back to Damascus and then Jerusalem, and because of persecution, went back to his hometown of Tarsus. So he's probably 12 years old in the Lord at this point when Barnabas remembers him and asks him to come and help out. I believe that Barnabas and Saul had a special relationship, something that God made work between the two of them, that there was respect, they esteemed each other as more important than self, and they grew in the Lord. As you as a church are in prayer, and I'm sure you already are, as you are in prayer and asking God to prepare a new pastor, he will prepare that person. And I encourage you to be in prayer for God to speak to whoever it is and raise that person up. Because not only do you want that person hearing from God, you want your church family to be ready as well. And at the right time, God will bring the new pastor with the church family. And in a way, it'll be like a marriage. And it will be a tremendous thing. And God will help you move forward. It will not be like what you've had in the past. And because you embrace a new pastor, it's not a rejection of Skomas. We'll always love Skomas. You could say amen. We'll always love Skomas. And that's just good, and it's the right thing that we do. And so to embrace somebody new is not a betrayal. It's just the way life unfolds in God's plan and will for us. So you're going to be moving forward. So may this church continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are rooted and grounded in God's word, that the vision of God for this community will come through your hearts and lives in greater fashion, that through all of the trials that the church worldwide has experienced these last 4 years, the church in America has experienced these last 4 years, the church in Texas has experienced these last 4 years, the church in Austin has experienced these last 4 years. Through all of these things, may Southwest Family Fellowship be stronger than ever before, victorious, knowing the resurrection power of the Lord and the glory of the risen Christ to be manifested in you and through you in your future. I like that amen. Thank you very, very much. Thank you for the amen. And I believe that the victory, will be tied not only to your love for God, but your love for each other. And you could say amen on that. Because what set apart the early church was the way they loved each other. That it's different. It's different than the way the world loves each other. It's different. And people will say, look how they love one another. It's different. And then when they see how we love one another, they want to be a part of that because that's not what exists in the world apart from Christ. We have something unique, something that can't be duplicated in any other way. And God is with his church for that kind of manifestation. So I have some thoughts as I conclude this third point. May we be more loving in our home. May we be more loving in our church. May we be more loving in our community. And may Austin, Texas, know you by your love. Amen. May Austin, Texas, know you by your love. The church in Antioch realized their responsibility for Christian people and their church family, and they accepted that responsibility. When the prophet Agabus visited them and prophesied that there would be famine in the entire world, the church in Antioch responded by taking up an offering for the people in Judea. That's because they were loving people. After the money was collected, Barnabas and Saul carried their gift to the elders of the church in Jerusalem, they saw a need and they fulfilled it. And that's what love causes us to do. It causes us to see a need and fulfill it. When God's hand is on us, we live differently. We respond to Jesus Christ and his word. We learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. We become a part of the local church. We become loving to other persons. And quite honestly, I think if we as Christians merely let the love of God out of our hearts in the community where we live, people are going to say, "Where'd you get that and why do you act like that?" Which will create more opportunity for us to share our faith with them. So today I invite you, Southwest Family Fellowship, to surrender to the hand of God on your life. And I strongly believe the hand of God is on this church. Just so I invite you. I invite Diane and me, because we live in Wisconsin, which is a long way from here, and it's colder there than it is here. But nonetheless, I invite us to surrender to the love of God in our lives. I invite you to surrender to the love of God in your life. And as we surrender to his love, I believe that God will show himself powerfully in and through us. The love of God will free us from the habits of sin. It will release us from the power of Satan. It will give us victory in our finances. It will reveal our hopes and our dreams. It will place the solitary in families. It will make us act like Jesus Christ. And it will give us opportunity to serve in ways that we never have before. I believe that God has a hope and a future for you, Southwest Family Fellowship. And I want to thank you for being loving and faithful. And I encourage you that God is with you and will not fail you. And he will show himself powerfully in your lives as you move forward. So as we come to a conclusion, I'd like to pray, first of all, for individual needs. So may I ask for you to bow your heads, close your eyes, make place of prayer where you are. And if you have any personal need and you would just want to raise your hand and say, by raising your hand, pray for me, I will then pray on your behalf. So if you have a personal need and you would like to receive prayer, would you raise your hand right now, please? Thank you so very much. Anybody else? Anybody else with a need? Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Yes. Lord, you're generous. You're kind. Very giving. Always faithful. Your ways are so different than human ways. So when we think you should do something the way we thought you should and you didn't do it, it can be frustrating. But we're learning to know you better and better and place our trust in you and say, your ways are best. So we come to you this morning asking for you to meet needs for people in this room. Many have responded to say that they have a need, and I ask that you be their help right now. Encourage them with your care. Come close to them and meet their need. Pour out your love into their hearts and give them a gift of grace that is greater than the situation they find themselves in. Lord, show yourself mighty in their lives, we ask in Jesus' name. Lord, you're good. This church family is the apple of your eye. You love Southwest Family Fellowship. I want to ask, Lord, for any that have a sense of grief and sorrow and pain to know that you care for them. We ask, Lord, that your closeness be enough today, and that your understanding sustain each one, and that you will care for them, meeting all their needs. Lord, this church family is going to be going through a change in service times next week, and that too can be a hard thing. So I ask that you will give help to a new time for worship, for the 9 o'clock to go to 10:30 and the 11 o'clock to go to 10:30. And Lord, that the church family can come together. And Lord, I ask that in coming together there is a unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I ask that you will meet the need of the Southwest family today and care for them this week and give them grace next Sunday for changes that are underway. Be with Mike Harper as he cares for them, Connor as he cares for them, our church leadership as they care for the church family, that you help this family to not only love God but love one another, and that you prepare Southwest Family Fellowship for their future, that it's a good time in you because you are with them, and that you will not fail, you will not let them down, you'll give them good things that come from your hand, and we ask for this in Jesus' name, amen.